Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. Visit NJDiet.com or call 855-5-NJ-DIET.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, I'm fired up baseball guy. I wish more guys pissed me off when I played.
Cody Decker.
Hey, Cody, why do you not like the Brewers?
Trash organization. The launch angle craze is absolute madness.
Outfielder Cody Decker.
If you don't take advantage of the data, then don't play this game.
Swing and a drive, hit the deep left center. That ball's headed for the wall. It is gone! It's gone! Cody Decker with a game-winning two-run home run.
Baseball analyst Cody Decker.
Back when Brad Lidge gave up that home run in the NLCS to Albert Pujols. Do you remember that home run?
Yep.
That night, that team expected to win the World Series. They thought they were, that whole Houston Astros team, they got on their flight to go to St. Louis. And during the flight, Brad Lidge was a wreck, apparently. And over the loudspeaker, the captain of the plane was saying, out to your left, you can see the mountains. And out to your right, you can see that ball Albert Pujols hit. And Brad Lidge got up ready to fight the captain. And behind him, two rows, was Brad Ausmus with his hands, his head in his hands, laughing hysterically because he paid that captain $2,000 to say it, because the captain wouldn't say it in fear that Brad Lidge would go crazy.
What?
That
immediately, I'm locked in.
I would go back and play for the Brewers for free before I ever put on the Rockies purple ever again.
Cody Decker with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
Do you have your caffeine? Do you? Cody and I have been toasting during the entire Open with our caffeine.
Yeah, we'll give you a few minutes if you need to get extra caffeinated or get Liam Hendricks' oxygen booster thing.
Or both.
Or both, right?
And then watch a really bad movie from the 80s.
Then you're set. You've got this show in a nutshell. If you add some cheddar cheese, which, by the way, is on the way. I made sure to send out that.
Cody, if you didn't hear what just happened, Dan started talking about cheese, and then he leaves the studio with authority. And is on a walk with a purpose, and then comes back and said, I gave Ray money to make a cheese run.
I can't explain it. I'm craving it. We did a story about Colby cheese versus cheddar cheese as the official cheese of Wisconsin, and now I want some, and I won't be denied it, and I need to have it immediately because I'm a child.
Merk.
In the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock hour, you're desperate for a cheese plate? Like,
yes.
I don't understand.
Yes.
Listen, I like charcuterie as much as the next guy, but I never one time woke up at 10 a.m. going like, oh, man, charcuterie.
Yeah, but I'm weird that way because I eat fried chicken for breakfast maybe 3 days a week.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
There's no shame in that whatsoever.
I don't need your validation. I don't need your stamp of approval, but I'm glad that you said that regardless. Cody Decker is on Twitter at Decker6. The WSCR baseball analyst is also the host of Down the Line with Cody Decker. The next show is Friday. And that is brought to you by our sponsor of the Score Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So were you as put off as I was by not just the uniforms themselves last night, but the idea of a homogenized uniform? For me, the joy of the All-Star game, the visual joy, is all the different unis that they wear.
I cannot stress enough how absolutely pathetically awful those uniforms were yesterday. I was actually on Carton and Robertson at WFAN the other day, and Carton was trying to explain to me that he thought the Navy uniforms were okay. I don't think he realized that it was coming with Navy pants, too. Everything about these looked horrendous. Somebody on Twitter actually made a great point. They all look like onesies with a different colored belt in the middle, and they do. When Brandon Crawford, by the way, in case you don't know this about Brandon Crawford, dark hair, blue eyes, just real striking features. When Brandon Crawford looks awful in your uniform, there's something wrong with your uniform.
I didn't know who anybody was. I had to have my kid tell me who people were because I didn't have the visual cue. Like, who's hitting now and who's that? Because unless it's Brandon Crawford with his hair, unless there's a very specific body type like Vlad Guerrero or a certain feature, baseball players all look like baseball players.
Yeah, no, it was very difficult to really keep up with who was in the game, what switches were made. You know, there's something about that pageantry. There's something about seeing the teams, the players in their home uniforms in the All-Star game that I always looked forward to my entire life. Every season, I looked forward to these things. I looked forward to seeing a Dodger sharing the field with a Giant, you know, natural-born rivals of each other, playing, fighting it together for a common gold. Same thing with, like, seeing the Cubs and a member of the St. Louis Cardinals together playing in the All-Star game. It's very cool to me. So seeing these uniforms come out of nowhere just so Nike and New Era can make a little extra bucks just drives me absolutely nuts. I didn't even like it when they started doing it to the Home Run Derby a few years back.
It's interesting that you mentioned the player combos too, Cody, because I always think about, and this is me being a super geek, love watching the best pitcher in the game with arguably one of the best catchers in the game. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that in some sort of situation play out.
It's a lot of cool dynamics that you get to take a look at. And last night, we got to see a ton of dynamics. They tried a lot of new things last night, which I do give Major League Baseball credit for actually giving it a shot. But some other things were complete missteps. I loved miking up the players. Having Joe Buck, however, interview them mid-game with terrible sound and the most mundane, terrible questions you could have ever written down on a piece of paper is not the way to do it. However, we got the ninth inning of Liam Hendricks dropping F-bombs left and right. I do that every single day. Never don't do that. It was the best. And whoever at Fox sat there and said, we need to mic up Liam Hendricks, for the love of God, promote that person to president of the company.
And you can hear Liam Hendricks when he's not mic'd up. That is the honest truth. If you watch White Sox baseball, when he starts screaming at himself, when he gets what he calls white line fever and becomes that crazy person on the field, that's the actual field mic that usually picks him up. And then to say, yeah, this is the guy on whom we want another live hot mic, absolutely more power to him.
It was great. I absolutely loved it. And the best part was when they came out and spoke to him, he said, oh, the mic's not working. I can't hear a thing, so it's not working. I just went and said, yes, mm-hmm. He doesn't know we can hear him. This is the best.
Dramatic irony in baseball form. But you know what it does exemplify is the idea that when we actually, I don't know, get to know these people, that's what makes them more popular and therefore helps promote the game. It's such a simple idea that the people in it are entertaining, like while we're talking to you, for example. And here we are talking again about the rules and how to change them. When we hear Theo Epstein this week, Cody, talk about the idea of teams needing to take away from analytics because Gen Zers aren't watching. And to me, some of the answers are as plain as day right in front of them. And having that with Liam Hendricks in that memorable moment is a perfect, perfect example of what they could do to help with it.
I've always kind of thought that Major League Baseball should take advantage of that YouTube thing that they are currently doing. You know, they're giving away a free game on YouTube like every day. Make it an R-rated game. Don't censor anything. Just let them go out and have fun. I think if Major League Baseball was willing to peel back the curtain and really humanize their players even more, you know, mic up the dugouts. I felt like the COVID year would have been very interesting experiment because we didn't have fans in the crowds. We didn't really get to see what's going on, so we pumped in fan noise. Instead, mic up all the players, mic up the dugouts, show people what is actually taking place in the game because it's interesting and it really adds an extra layer to the game that people don't really know about.
Yeah, that's going to result in a lot of cancellations. That's good because I know the way ball players talk to each other, and I know from whether it's your home country, your ethnicity, your mama or whatever it may be, there's some stuff that said that is okay there that isn't okay anywhere else.
That is just 100% the truth. Listen, I am a Jewish baseball player who've dealt with a decent amount of anti-Semitism throughout my career. But when you're with your teammates and we're throwing around, you know, an occasional Jewish joke, and these are people you know and you trust, and sure, you go out and you spend all that time with, it's a very different type of scenario. If you're somebody you don't know that's, you know, lobbing anti-Semitic comments at me, it's a different thing. But yeah, those things do happen in a clubhouse. But there's also a level of trust in those clubhouses that I don't think fans and you know, regular viewers are aware of.
Do you see that there were an Orthodox Jew was drafted?
I did see that.
Steinmetz, who's like actually Orthodox, that he won't take like a bus or a train or a plane on the Sabbath, but he will pitch, but he has to walk there.
That was fascinating to me. Yes, I found it interesting that he was willing to pitch but not willing to drive there. Hey, you know, that is, you know, that's your thing. If that's what you got to do, you got to do it. And whether I agree with it or not is not really the point. As long as he can go out and do his job and still maintain everything that he wants to do religiously, all the power to him.
We did talk earlier about appreciating Chris Bryant's candor and his honesty during the interview he did have during the game, though, and what he had to say about where he's at with the team being perilously waiting for the trade deadline. What were your thoughts about what he had to say and just the idea of him, even in that moment, speaking a little more freely than we've heard him with us?
If I'm a major league GM, I'm doing everything I can to sign that guy. I'm doing everything I can to trade for him. He was literally in the middle of an all-star game answering questions about him getting traded in a week while being incredibly gracious, incredibly honoring to the city of Chicago and to the organization that brought him up. Everything about this guy screams, you need him on your team. I think there's going to be a borderline bidding war in the next week and a half for him and probably up to three other members of the Cubs. I know it hasn't been a very fun for Cubs fans to see this team completely go the opposite direction these last 3 weeks, but really, this is probably the best possible case scenario that could have happened. They needed to make some serious moves. They need to replenish their minor league system, and they need to, quote, reload for next season. And I think Chris Bryant is the perfect guy for any team, especially teams like the Nats, the Mets. Those are two teams right out the gate that can desperately use them, not to mention the Padres could use them at the moment. It's just, there's a lot of people out there who are going to want their hands on Chris Bryant if all he did yesterday is show what an incredible guy he is off the field.
Yeah, the Mets, I think, are always the team that, to me, began the season with me thinking about them as a possible landing spot for him and might just be the one who ends up with it. We have a cheese update on our segment because Ray just walked in with a wad of cash and a block of cheese for Dan.
Not a lot of cash left because this is Boar's Head Canadian cheddar aged over 1,000 days.
This isn't an ad. This is just things that happen here.
This is a 3-year aged cheddar. This better be damn good.
Are you just going to open it up?
I didn't get a whole lot of change back from my 20.
I'm going to minorly take over the show while Dan gets his drug out of the way here because he seriously was obsessed with the idea of having this cheese.
Is there a Cameron Hughes of cheese where you can get like brand name cheese marked down?
Like allowed to eat cheese, Cody? Because you seem like a guy who's pretty dedicated to a diet. Could you eat a lot of cheese while you were a baseball player or any?
You know, believe it or not, I was never a huge cheese fan. The only time I really got into cheese is when I got into keto for a little bit there. But really, quite frankly, no, I'm not a huge cheese guy. I only like it on burgers. I only like it on pizza. Outside of that, I avoid cheese. And yeah, the diet during the season, I will tell you, goes right out the window. Every guy shows up to spring training, it jacked, in great shape. They got a six-pack. Everybody looks good. Everybody leaves the season looking awful, like a bag of mashed potatoes every single time.
It's true. I don't think people realize that necessarily. Just we talk about the travel and the grind, and people are like, oh, you have it so tough because you're on a charter plane and this and that. But that is a big piece of it. No cheese pun intended.
Huge, huge piece of it. Not to mention that you're talking about on the major league side, it's hard to maintain your diet because you also have a chef in your clubhouse cooking anything you want. And they have everything you want and they know exactly what you like to eat. So it's not exactly the healthiest of environments. And then you go to the minor leagues, really after the game, you have post-game meals, which is ever available to you. And if you go online, you can see that a lot of post-games meals in the minor leagues are not all that great or nutritious. So you're kind of left with the only option of going to fast food on the way home. So your diet really goes to absolute hell. My wife calls it preseason body and postseason body. She hated postseason body.
Dan just handed me cheese.
Yeah, there, enjoy that. This is pretty spectacular.
So ends really the good cheese run of 2021.
When you were talking about as a kid seeing All-Stars and seeing those uniforms next to each other, what's your earliest memory of being excited about an All-Star for whom you rooted?
Ken Griffey Jr. in 1993, specifically at Camden Yards. It was the first time I remember seeing him in the new Mariners jersey, when they went to black and teal. It was very cool to me. And then watching him hit in the home run derby, balls off the building in right field. It's one of my earliest baseball memories of just pure excitement. Having the backwards hat. Yep. I bought a Seattle Mariners hat the next day, wore it backwards every day because of Ken Griffey Jr. That is just the coolest thing in the world. And I think a lot of kids in this last home run derby probably going to do the exact same thing after what they saw Juan Soto do and after what they saw Pete Alonso do. I think we are currently going into a baseball renaissance of just, quite frankly, coolness. I think baseball is finally going to get to the level where it should be when it comes to marketability.
The home run derby was better than the All-Star game. It was a better television product. And I watched the Jason Benetti, Jessica Mendoza StatCast broadcast just because I'm a friend of Jason's and I enjoy his work tremendously. That's sort of put there for me. But there's something about Pete Alonso and the way he's built as a hitter that it's almost like he's a perfect home run derby machine. And the comp I would make is the difference between these professional long drive guys in golf and actual professional golfers. Like none of the long drive guys, it's a different job. It's a different sport. I wouldn't mind to see like what former big leaguers, I don't know, maybe a longtime AAA guy who's known as a slugger. You could open up a whole thing if you created a circuit of just home run derby guys.
I'm not going to lie to you, this has been brought up before in the past, but I will say home run derbies are shockingly hard, especially the new version of them. That endurance test of 2 minutes straight, I never did that home run derby. I did the old format home run derby in the AAA All-Star game in about 2015, and that alone was hard as well. You have to find a rhythm. You have to figure out how to take in the proper amount of swings without tying yourself out, and this one was incredible because it was in Denver. Watching these guys gas themselves out the way they did and watching Pete Alonso, who, by the way, there are guys in that home run derby who are in incredible shape. Pete Alonso is not in the top tier of the best athletes in that group, and he didn't look like he even broke a sweat. I will never, ever doubt Pete Alonso in a home run derby ever again. In fact, I think they should change the format of home run derby. I think Pete Alonso should be sitting there in a throne like Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat 2, and everyone should just... Yeah, and everybody should just play with the honor to lose to Pete Alonso at the end. That should be the home run derby for the foreseeable future.
You really have a good point, though, with this, not just with the throne, which I think would be pretty great, but also the point of him being so consistent in this. I want to know if he can do home run derby at Citi Field. I want to know if he can do home run derby at Wrigley. How many could he rack up? Could he do that with a marine layer at Dodger Stadium? There are many ways that we can figure out whether or not Pete Alonso's home run derby prowess can be measured.
Well, he said it himself. He is the best home run derby hitter in the world. And quite frankly, I have no reason to doubt him because he went 2-for-2 in his last two home run derbies. And this home run derby, 40 swings in the first round, 35 of them home runs. That's stupid. That's incredibly stupid. That's absurd. I'm telling you, as a guy that hit a lot of home runs in his life, it is not easy to just sit there and hit home run after home run after home run, swing after swing after swing, even if it's BP speed, even if you know what pitch is coming. And especially in front of a crowd like that on national television, you even saw Ohtani kind of fall to a little bit of pressure at the beginning of it. It took him a whole minute before he hit his first home run.
Well, the thing I like about it too, though, is baseball leaning into the idea of, all right, kids, humidor's off, and embracing the elements and embracing what they do to affect the game outcome and then changing it for this exhibition. There's a lot to be said there about the idea of acknowledging everybody's intelligence and then also having fun with it. And I don't know that they do that enough either.
They really don't. In fact, we used to make jokes about turning off humidors in certain stadiums that we would go into, and we'd always get stern talking to about it because they were very, very serious about those things. We talked about when we would go to like Albuquerque, we're like, oh, they got a humidor in there. Well, don't worry, I got scissors. And everybody, we immediately would get a phone call from like the GM. He's like, hey, we heard you were talking about damaging our humidor. I'm like, no.
Oh my
God. We were kidding. We're not going to damage your humidor, man.
But wow. The idea of actually doing it themselves for this purpose, I thought was pretty great.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a very cool little moment. And it was really kind of an inside nod to only the people who kind of get it.
Rob Manfred dropped a couple of crumbs for us as far as news that they are continuing to circle each other and say nice things about the labor negotiation. But it does appear that he wants to get rid of the seven-inning doubleheaders and go back to normal ones. And it looks like we're going to not have the Manfred man automatically on base for extra innings. I didn't mind either one. I understand the arguments against, but it does look like that those are days are numbered for both.
Well, here's the thing. I actually don't mind either. Actually, I like the extra inning rule. I think it adds immediate excitement, adds immediate strategy that kind of is being taken away from the game these days. That being said, I have no problem if it's taken away. That never really bothered me. However, I really like the double sevens. I like the double headers of seven-inning games. I think it's good for teams. I think it's good for arms and the health of the players on the field. The one thing I think they need to address is it should be one gate for both games. I think it's kind of a travesty that Major League Baseball has been kind of gouging the fans by making it two different gates for two separate seven-inning games. I think it should be one gate, and I think it should be just one 14-inning day of baseball, and I love that they've been doing it. I found myself watching more baseball on TV during double headers.
I don't mind the idea of the seven-inning doubleheader, but I also think that we've seen a few times in baseball the strategic rainout. It is some sort of way to preserve a bullpen in a way. And you just knocked off four innings out of your season by doing so in one fell swoop.
It can happen that way. That's the thing. When it comes to these type of things, it's always easy for someone to manipulate it. We've already seen it with like the umpire checking pitchers, and we've seen how managers can easily manipulate that for ulterior motives. It's the same thing you can do with rainouts and everything you do with this doubleheader situation. I think you need to put in some deterrence for it, but it's just, I think it's a better thing for the game itself. But I don't like the fact that we're sitting around talking about those rules when Rob Manfred needs to just come out and say one thing. Universal DH will be implemented next year. The end. That's all I care about. All these other rules, fine, whatever. Do whatever you want to do. I don't like the relief pitcher having to face three batters rule. I think that's a stupid rule. However, I think the DH needs to be everywhere. This is enough. Just get it done.
Cody Decker, thank you as always. We look forward to hearing you on Friday on Down the Line with Cody Decker on these airwaves, and then we'll talk again next week.
Most importantly, you enjoy your cheese.
Oh, you better believe Dan. I am. I've been staring at it here and just sort of waiting to get to the break. So
that doesn't sound creepy at all.
Cody, thanks.
Later, guys.
Thanks, Cody.
That is Cody Decker, who joins us weekly. Next up, we're going to get into some Cubs talk with Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports. So you want your Cubs, you'll get it next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
3-0 pitch is hit in the air to left and caught. Jared Walsh. What a play coming in to get it with a sliding grab to rob Bryant and to rob the National League. What a play.
Maybe Rob Bryant would have gotten a hit because Chris Bryant didn't. Had some opportunities. Could have been the guy.
Is it okay to say he hit into some hard luck? I feel like he kind of did.
I think it's fair enough. But he wanted to be MVP, was trying to hit a grand slam, and pretty much said that that's what he was doing. Let's talk about the Cubs, Chris Bryant's current team, and maybe soon to be his former team if the trends hold. Tony Andracki, the digital content manager and Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports, is on Twitter at TonyAndracki23. He is on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Tony, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. So I've asked this question. It seems to cut both ways. The whole Wilson Contreras grenade that he rolled out there right before All-Star break, right before the rainout. Good timing, bad timing. Which one?
Well, good timing, I think, mostly for Wilson and just in general because of the All-Star break. I think it allowed the Cubs to have some of those really honest conversations, and it allowed Wilson to be able to talk to his teammates the next morning and explain what he really meant and what was behind that, and maybe make an apology. I don't know specifically that that happened. But, yeah, just – and then to go into it and have 4 days here where guys can – relax a little bit and cooler heads can prevail and everything else. I'm going to say good timing on that whole incident.
What were your takeaways from when David Ross spoke about it and then Craig Kimbrell and Chris Bryant ended up acknowledging it during All-Star availability?
Yeah, so my biggest takeaway was when Ross was saying, he kind of clarified for Wilson. Obviously, we haven't talked to Wilson since, but it was more about supporting each other rather than effort or focus or intensity. It was about supporting each other when plays don't go their way, whether like it's the call that happened Adam Morgan pitching, Tommy Edman hitting in that Saturday game. It was a pitch that was almost right down the middle that wasn't called. And then two pitches later, Edman hits a home run. So, I think it was more of that. And really, I do understand where Wilson's coming from too. Like, these guys are humans and it has to be difficult. It has to be tough to go through an 11 game losing streak for a club that is not used to that. You know, the worst losing streak since 2012, obviously these guys, haven't been around since then, and they have championship aspirations or division title hopes every year. They weren't anticipating that. So yeah, there's some frustration. There's some getting used to all that. And also the uncertainty coming with their future. They don't know what's coming next for them. So I think for a lot of these guys, I think that can kind of be what Wilson was saying, that he wants everybody to come together back as a group. And I think that's what Ross kind of tapped in as well the next day is getting back to that point and, hey, maybe it should have been done differently, not necessarily in the media or over a Zoom call, but like, hey, let's have these conversations privately and work from it through from there. And I think that's what the Cubs are trying to do at the moment.
Tony Andracki, our guest, is also on Twitch. If you want to check him out there, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. That whole conversation has been a party today also. We went back to June 5th and the outburst that occurred in the dugout in San Francisco between Contreras and Anthony Rizzo. And that was right there. Like, you can't hide that. You can't tell us that's not what we're seeing. That was David Ross stepping in. That was, you know, one guy walking off to the tunnel. And then they're like, well, we're both competitors out there, you know. And it just seems to me that when Contreras says what he says, it might be my fault, I always picture that he's talking about Anthony Rizzo.
I didn't take that. I don't know who specifically he was mentioning, but I think it was more so of just based off talking to Ross too, guys feeling isolated. Like, if they're struggling, they're struggling individually instead of together. And I think Rizzo obviously is a huge part of that because he's the longest tenured Cub. He's the face of the franchise.
It's his clubhouse. You know, really, he's the absolute the gravitational force of that clubhouse.
Yeah, he is. It is his clubhouse. And Jason Hayward as well. Those are the two guys that we've heard this year when Patrick Wisdom or Rafael Ortega or anybody, even Zach Davies at the beginning of the year, they come up or they come to the team. Those are the first two guys that are reaching out. So you're right. Yeah, I think Rizzo, obviously, if, you know, he's looked at as a leader in the organization. And if he is, then sure, some of this may fall on him. But I think ultimately it's a team-wide thing. It's struggling individually instead of together. That's what the Cubs are trying to get back to.
After we see the party that is the All-Star break and we see Craig Kimbrell and Chris Bryant get their support and really look good on a national stage for many reasons, now we're left with what's next. And my thought was that was a great showcase for the both of them as we are very close to the trade deadline. What do you see happening with those two?
Yeah, I think that's the million-dollar question. Assuming the Cubs end up selling, which, you know, it sure seems that way, I think Kimbrell is going to be probably the top trade target on the market, at least the way it's shaping up right now. I don't know. The way bullpens and high-leverage relievers, and especially closers, are utilized in the playoffs, you can just see a contending team wanting to pay a decent amount for Kimbrell and for Jed Hoyer to be getting what he wants in return as a trade package. I don't know that that's necessarily true for Bryant. I'm not saying that Bryant is going to stay here or leave or whatever, but I, you know, with the comp pick that could come with Bryant, Javi, Rizzo, if they stay out till and then eventually leave in free agency at the end of the year, I think that the return obviously would have to be better than that comp pick in the Cubs' mind, but also just, you know, if the Cubs start clicking a little bit and feel like maybe they could make a little bit of a run in the second half, then sure, that changes the calculus as well. But also, if you trade Bryant away, I don't know how that would affect him or the relationship with the team. And if you keep him around, then certainly you can work on trying to work out a long-term extension. So I think the package has to be right for Jed to pull the trigger on a KB or a Javi or a Rizzo move as well, especially because those would be the moves that impact the fans on like a day-to-day basis and people coming to Wrigley Field as well. So I think it has to be the haul he wants. I don't know for sure if that's going to play out that way, if another team is going to pay that price yet this month.
I'm very interested to see the job that David Ross does when the gears shift on the organizational proximity to contention. It's one thing to say, all right, you know, we're still rolling, we're still going for it, we're in win now mode, we're in our window, and it's pretty easy to know the tone of your management style or sort of what you're setting as a mission statement. That's a different thing entirely when you're gearing back a little bit and reloading, whether it's a 1 year, a 2 year, or maybe longer, whatever it's going to go by the ages of these prospects for whom they're going to be able to trade. But that's a real challenge for David Ross now to sort of reinvent midstream here and become a developer instructor type as much as a, hey, let's maximize everything now type.
Yeah, it will be, especially because he's just so competitive. He talks about it a lot. He's been around winning. He's seen a lot of winning and throughout his playing career and then in his role in the front office with the Cubs a couple years in between his playing career and managing. And yeah, last year making the playoffs, winning the division, this year being atop the division for, you know, various points before that losing streak. And yeah, he has even admitted like he wants to win every single game. And you can see that. You can see that fire, that intensity and passion. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm curious to see how that would play out, assuming the Cubs go that way and you know, kind of do this soft reset or whatever it is you want to call it, I would be really interested to see how Ross manages that and navigates it. But, you know, at the same time, I think we've also seen in a little bit just over the last few weeks with during the losing streak, he has been really patient and, you know, talking with us and just the outward image that he portrays to the rest of the team. He's not getting frustrated. He's not, you know, throwing things and hanging his head in the dugout. And he knows that he has to be the guy that people look to him at the end of the dugout or look to him when he walks through the clubhouse, that his mood affects the rest of the guys. So, yeah, I think he understands that. I think he understands, you know, what comes with this all. But I'm with you. I think it'll be a really fascinating, I don't know, I guess maybe adventure to watch as Ross shifts into that, assuming that's the way it goes.
The Cubs get a nice ease back in from the All-Star break because of the schedule. Facing the Arizona Diamondbacks, there are worse opponents to face after a break and try to get things right. Then they take on the Cardinals. How are you looking at those two series back-to-back?
Well, yeah, you never really necessarily go into a series saying you got to sweep, but for the Cubs' playoff hopes and you look at where the Diamondbacks are in the standings, yeah, I think a sweep is, you know, pretty paramount if this team does want to get back into it like they say they do. And then, yeah, of course, that four-game set in St. Louis is going to be massive, you know, and then Arizona right after that as well. So it is beneficial, the schedule for sure. For as hard as June was, July seems to be a bit easier, and especially coming out of the break to have six of the first 10 games against the Diamondbacks. It's going to be a telling time. Like, if the Cubs really, really want to get back into this, they obviously need a little bit of help from the Brewers and Reds losing, but themselves, they need to take care of business. And in those 10 games, I mean, you're looking at 8-2, 7-3, you know, kind of being like a necessity to climb back into the race. But like you said, there are definitely worse opponents to start off the break with.
Are you hearing some things I'm hearing from around the team with the rising frustration with the team's inability to get enough vaccinations to get over the 85% threshold, Tony? Because, and I don't want to name names, but I know there are some people that are envious that other teams are able to travel their broadcasts rather than having to drive themselves. And just from some of the ancillary people around there, the extra aggravations, the extra irritations of having more stringent COVID standards that they shouldn't have to have because of a safe and simple vaccination. There are a lot of people who are increasingly unhappy with those unwilling to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, I know it has been a source of frustration, at least with leadership, with Cubs leadership throughout the year. I mean, between Ross and Hoyer speaking about it, like, it does change things. It obviously, when MLB changed the rules and changed it that vaccinated people don't need to wear masks in the dugout and can go out to dinner and loosen some restrictions on an individual basis. But sure, as a team, it does affect the ability to all be in one clubhouse. Like, that's been so strange, is guys being in like hallways and everything else. And I don't know exactly how that plays out right now for teams under that 85%, but they're still a lot more spread out than they would be normally if they were over 85% or if they were 100% vaccination. So, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a source of frustration at some point throughout this year with it. I don't know that it's necessarily rising from my perspective. I do think it'll be really interesting as we talk about the trade deadline, how that does change the equation, not just for the Cubs, but teams all around baseball. And I don't know the answer to this, but if they change the math, then do teams that were over 85%, if they acquire guys, do they go under 85%? Or same thing with the Cubs. If, you know, they ultimately like trade a couple of pieces away or acquire guys, does that change their math to get to 85% as well? So that's one thing that I feel like is almost kind of this undercurrent too of the trade deadline. But I have no idea really how that's going to impact things, if at all.
Interesting. Tony Andracki, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports. If you listened early in the show, we had a caller who made reference to a specific All-Star game. Well, yesterday, I noticed in my Twitter timeline that there was a new hip-hop song. It's only 2 minutes long by one of the great MCs, one of the great hip-hop frontmen of all time, having to do with his personal memories of a great MLB All-Star game.
Maybe the best.
Maybe objectively. Looking at the number of Hall of Famers who were involved in that game, it may be that 50 years ago, it was the best All-Star game that was ever played with some signature moments. And one of my favorite rappers of all time put together an original song about it that you'll hear next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This has been a fun show.
It has. And during the pre-show meeting, this is funny how this happened. Because you independently brought up something that you connected to Bill Melton.
Yes. When I worked with Bill Melton, he told me the story about the 1971 All-Star Game and how he was a part of it. In one of his arguably best seasons as a professional, and the amount of Hall of Famers that were on both teams. And when you start going through the names, of course Bill Melton was a part of that greatness. What an experience.
Well, an 11-year-old Carlton Ridenour enjoyed that game. You know Ridenour, of course, is Chuck D, the frontman for Public Enemy. And he had incredibly fond memories of the 1971 All-Star Game. I remembered it for another reason, because everybody's seen the famous, iconic Tiger Stadium Reggie Jackson home run that hits the light tower. And that's the only thing I really remembered about that game. Well, as we were talking about this, I was just talking about the music video that I saw yesterday. So we all worked our way back to that same spot. And then we had a caller just earlier in the show who called in and talked about this is the 50-year anniversary of maybe objectively the greatest MLB All-Star game ever. Well, Chuck D gave us a song about it yesterday.
71 Detroit Tiger Stadium. 50 years ago was a game that made me love the game. The All-Star Game.
It was the All-Star Game that made me love the game. Six homers from the Hall of Fame. Not to mention two brothers throwing against one another. Vital Blow and Doc Ellis. Sort of like hip-hop before TikTok. Tiger Stadium, Detroit was a stop. Showtown and Motown. Let the good times rock. Summer of 71. 'Twas the night my baseball cards came to life. 25 future Hall of Famers. Umpires, managers, coaches, play-by-players. The rest outstanding ball players. All before Mr. October was the man that hit the transformer. All-Star Game with the Hall of Fame power. Reggie Jackson hit the light tower. Long before Mr. October was the man that hit the transformer. All-Star Game with the Hall of Fame power. Reggie Jackson hit the light tower. Jackson, Killer Booth, Frank Robinson, Aparicio, Yaz, Carew, Brooks Robinson, Al Kaline, one of five Tigers, American League, National 9, yeah, Aaron Lee, McCovey, and Bench, Roberto Clemente, top of the eighth, went over the fence, Stargell, Santo, Torrey Brock, add the pitches, Hall of Fame on lock, Paul Receiver, Marichal Jenkins, Steve Carlton, what am I thinking? Umpires, managers, announcers, too, Kurt Gowdy, calling for you. Blew out the right field. Ryder Blue was the winner, although he yielded. Two homers to Bitch and Aaron. Upper deck is how the wind was carrying. In the bottom of the third, Doc was a loser to be. No, he wasn't on LSD. Jackson and Frank Robinson. Right field blast like a shotgun. Like I said, Roberto Hill, another one. Upper right tier, sign what was coming that year. Armin Killer Brew killed the pitch. Pulled against the wind in left field. Ryder Blue with the win. As a kid, I see my heroes give what they gave. By the way, Detroit's Mickey Lolich, he ended it with a save. What am I thinking? Umpires, managers, announcers, too. Kurt Gowdy calling it for you. Blew out the right field. Ryder Blue was the winner, although he yielded. Two homers to Bitch and Aaron. Upper deck is how the wind was carrying. In the bottom of the third, Doc was a loser to be. No, he wasn't on LSD. Jackson and Frank Robinson. Right field blast like a shotgun. Like I said, Roberto Hill, another one. Upper right tier, sign what was coming that year. Armin Killer Brew killed the pitch. Pulled against the wind in left field. Ryder Blue with the win. As a kid, I see my heroes give what they gave. By the way, Detroit's Mickey Lolich, he ended it with a save.
That was Chuck D, and that's cool stuff. And those of us who love Public Enemy know that there needs to be some punctuated "Yeah, boy!" in there that we don't get because it's not PE. But I don't know if it's he was able to get his guy Norm Terminator X scratch it up for him. But my guess is it's probably just a kid on his iPad or whatever it is. But it's still pretty good.
Oh, it was excellent, and I'm disturbed that was 50 years ago. But when you think about the roster of names, and he mentions them cleverly in that song, it is ridiculous.
Yes.
The amount of Hall of Famers in that game. And Melton talked about it, of course, in a very casual Bill Melton way and said, you know, that year I was an All-Star. There were a lot of Hall of Famers on that team. And was that casual about it? Then we started naming them off, and the list was absolutely ridiculous. We mentioned Louis Aparicio in there. You heard Yaz, of course, Reggie Jackson, Rod Carew, Bill Melton, Al Kaline, the list going on and on. I mean, you can just scroll down. Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, even Cookie Rojas being a familiar name on the American League side. And then the National League was just ridiculous. When you're talking about McCovey, Stargell, Rusty Staub, LeGrand Orange, Fergie Jenkins, Hank Aaron, Joe Torre, Roberto Clemente, Larry Durker, Juan Marichal, Willie Mays, Ron Santo. That does it, right? That's it.
And the best part of the video, they're wearing their own uniforms. They're not wearing some schlocky, dumbass beer league stuff. They actually look like Major League Baseball players representing their respective teams. And we'll leave it at that. We'll do Transition with Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots.
He scored!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.